Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for sketches, stories, and songs from the studio. We'll put our noses to the grindstone on a show about work. Swiss-American husband and wife duo Cole Burrell and Sarah Bowman perform as Famous October, and comedian Stephen Benequist returns with another Carrickfleur.
All right, that'll do. Print it.
But I said Carrickfleur.
Yeah, it's close enough for rock and roll. I want to get this over with so I can put my feet up.
We haven't even started the show yet.
Yeah, it's all right. I queued up a speech-to-text program, and it's going to read the show for me.
There's no way that that's going to work.
You'll see, Julie. No one will be the wiser.
Oh, so you're using it right now.
Correction. This is pre-prepared text. JP is already halfway to the couch.
Well, in for a penny.
In for a pound. Might as well phone it in, too.
That's the spirit, Robot Julie.
From a local studio on a shoestring budget, this is American Parlor Songbook, with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston.
And as always on the other microphone, if she's Cinderella, I'm the pumpkin, Julie Van Dusen. Work. You might not want to do it, but still got to get done. You have to push those pencils, sling those lattes. Yeah. Whether you like it or not, you're going to have to bale that hay. I suppose if you're employed as a sassy drag queen, you could bale that hay. But I digress. I don't know what digress means. Employment is how most of us get by. Sure, there are some trust funders, you know, getting by on nothing but their man buns. But yeah, the rest of us, we have to get that job. Take me, for example. I'm working right now. It's not a bad gig either, you know, about 50% of it is saying whatever nonsense that comes into my stupid head, and the other 50% is regretting it.
Heave-ho, tow that rope, haul it up the hard way, every load, climb a stack of papers to the company store, bring that door back home.
In the beginning, work was just surviving. The caveman wasn't collecting a paycheck from corporate, no. The economics were simple. Kill food, eat it. And there was no rent either. You could just walk straight into the first hole you find on the side of a cliff, you know, paint some flat sideways antelope on the walls there, and home. And the only tax was the occasional finger to a mountain lion, I guess. At some point, things started abstracting, you know, trading, bartering. Give me that arrow and I'll paint you a sideways antelope. Or later, build me that pyramid and I'll sit here in my golden headdress and vampish eyeliner. Now, that one didn't seem fair. Or, like in the Middle Ages, you know, serfdom, feudalism. You could try and try to rise above your station, but it was futile. It was darn near impossible to get paid for a pun like that one. Not much has changed.
Heave-ho, tow that rope, haul it up the hard way, every load, climb a stack of papers to the company store, bring that door back home.
And then along comes the Industrial Revolution, when it was bring your kids to work day, every day. You could only suck on so much soot before you cleared your throat, raised your voice, and made some demands, right? But the demands were simple. Back then, maternity leave was the moment after push and before lunch. And it was a working lunch, a turn up on the textile line. So the unions formed, right? It started the march towards a fair workplace. And I'll let you know when we get there. You know, it's a good thing that Prohibition ended just in time for the Great Depression. It's tough times, they call for stiff drinks. I know, because I've been hammered since precisely November 8th, 2016. I digress. I still don't know what that means. Where was I, right? The Depression. Nothing worse than not being able to work. As much as you want to, there's just no one hiring. It does all go in cycles, though, and before long, every toothy dab was bringing home steaks and enough money for delicious cigarettes and a record player for the kids and a second car for the wife and a credit card. Uh-oh.
Heave if whole. Tow that rope, haul it up the hard way, every load. Climb a stack of papers to the company store. Bring that dough, bring that dough back home.
So we started digging a new kind of hole. A whole culture of debt. You could stack 10 credit cards deep, pay one with the next one, and so on. Right? I don't blame us, though. It's tough out there, and you need a good car. Working just to feed the beast. The beast is what I call my belly, but that's neither here nor there. It's everywhere. Do I need to digress again? Because I hope not. I'm still pretty sure I'm using it wrong. I'd look it up, but I have no work ethic at all. So I probably ought to get my side hustle on and drive Uber and pay for an education. Might as well join the libertarian dystopia, you know, side hustle. Uber side hustle, right? The hustle was convincing everyone that it's cool to let unlicensed maniacs drive unregulated taxis around for $4 an hour. What could go wrong? And it's just going to get weirder. Cars. The cars are about to drive themselves. Where do the cars have to go that's so important? No. They'll drive you into unemployment. Cabs and truck drivers go first. And then one by one, those pesky bots are going to pick off your jobs. Fast food workers fall, then janitor, physical stuff goes, then the clerical infrastructure design. At least I'll be safe. The creative public radio host. Who am I kidding? A Casio could write this garbage.
Man with his hands built a mirror from sand. And with the sweat of his brow, he built the walls of this house. See him settle down. Works too hard till he sees himself and he falls apart.
The trick is going to be sharing the robot wealth. Get to that post-scarcity society. There's enough food, there's everything we need. The machines they provide for us fat goofballs. And then, oh, we'll be free to paint and to sing and relax and force each other to look at our terrible paintings and listen to our terrible songs. See, I'm way ahead of the times in that respect. But if we're lucky, it's coming. Robo-socialism. Mandatory retirement age zero. I don't know. I get antsy when I sit around for too long. You need that sense of purpose and all that junk. You know, work is hard, and it can get you down, but well, it's good for you. And it gets done what's got to get done. So we're going to put our noses to the grindstone this week and see what we look like with our noses sanded off. So let's get to work. Stick around. It's only a little laborious.
Heave-ho, tow that rope, haul it up the hard way, every load. Climb a stack of papers to the company store. Bring that dough, bring that dough back home. Bring that dough back, bring that dough back home.
And as always, if you do take offense with something you hear on the program this week, you can tweet your complaints to me directly at @TheJPHouston, and you'll be promptly ignored. Now, we're going to be hearing special studio performances this week from a Swiss-American couple, Sarah Bowman, a talented singer-songwriter, and her husband, Cole Burrell, together as Famous October.
Wish me well, I'm on my way to drown myself in a wishing well. Why do so, you wanna know? Too only you, my friend, I will tell. It was a long, long year.
started drawing lines on my eyes. I saw a castle in the air that I could share with a beautiful bride. Each morning I rose with the sun. I knew someday that she would come out. Till the moon came out, which light silver clouds we would lay. When she appeared out of the rain, she handed me a grain for us to grow. I felt the harvest time would yield a golden field, but how's I to know? House climbing up ropes of sand, holding up hopes of sand, crumble in my hand when this tearless world. She felt like a breath of spring, but there's one thing that she could never be. A girl without a history who always smiles and never disagrees. So, my friend, we've reached the end, to the bottom of the wishing well. I'll pull the plug so love can be revived. Yes, climbing. Something in my head I need to hear.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX. And we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Later, Peter Thomas interviews Thomas Peters about ethnic diversity in public radio. But first, host Karen Jobs looks at urban employment in the gig economy. Stay tuned for Jobs on the Radio. Not Jobs on the Radio, it just happens to be a show this week about jobs. On the Radio, hosted by Jobs. On your radio next, it's Jobs on the Radio.
This is Jobs on the Radio. I'm Karen Jobs. Gainfully employed as a public radio host, with nothing but a bachelor's in communications and the inability to pronounce consonants. I wanted to see how the rest of my creative generation were faring without the steady public radio income of $5,000 a year. Urban centers are overflowing with musical culture and offbeat arts. But what fuels the economic engine of this new intelligentsia? Nathaniel Lipnicki, soft cheese sculptor and blogger.
It's like I think the millennial artist has to piece together his income, like in pieces. It's like diversify your abilities and then capitalize on them collectively, right? Like I have my cheese sculpture, which is my passion. My blog is my heart. And my competitive mustache career is my side hustle. All in all, those account for almost all of 0% of my income, and my trust fund fills in the blanks.
Barista and juggler, Jenna Marbles. Well, I'm able to keep my barista work artistically fulfilling with my latte foam designs. My juggling is still just a weekend thing. I did try combining the two, but there were too many lawsuits. Totally drained my trust fund. And at his Nouveau Fusion taco truck, Chef Daniel Coogan.
It's like the neighborhood around here was totally struggling, and businesses like ours have been coming in and breathing new life into the economy, right? Like, my truck alone has raised rent values on the whole block around here. Since we first parked in the parking lot at Miguel's Authentic Mexican Cuisine, it's been like a rebirth for the whole community. They've since closed down because of the high rent, but it's all right because Miguel drives Uber now.
Young artists are thriving in the gig economy, and the new income paradigms are changing the way fathers write checks. Coming up, Larry Singer talks with Mute Carl Mummy about his spoken word debut on Singer on the Radio. On the Radio, next. I'm Karen Jobs. For Jobs, on the Radio.
Now, I think it's about time we heard another song from Famous October.
Sweet promising time.
Now, you can find information about Sarah and Cole's music on their website, FamousOctober.com. Let's have another song from Famous October.
An empty day, an empty page. It's your name at the tip of this pen that is missing.
The bicycle hasn't changed much in 200 years. There are two wheels, bi, and pedals that make them turn, cycle. Does a popsicle go? Well, I don't know, but I ate enough of them on my bike, so we'll count it. So you can paint it red or you can paint it blue. And well, you've got your boy one or your girl one with the bar out of the way in the middle there. Kind of seems like that makes more sense for a boy, right? But I guess they say it was for the dresses. Pretty soon, it's just not enough, and well, your young and dumb mind wants an engine down there. You can wait 10 years for a license, or you can improvise. The cheapest special effect there is. Stick a card in the spokes and listen to it click. And then it came. Raw power. A kid's fun lives and dies by the streetlights. It's written in international parent-kid treaties, I think. When the streetlights turn on, you have to go home. Or else. On school nights, anyway. Now, on the weekends, or for the summer, it's a free-for-all. It wasn't my neighborhood anyway. Our pitch-black hide-and-seeks went into places they shouldn't have, strange backyards, apartment garbage bins, discarded refrigerators, and our bikes were our getaway vehicles. Christian would get us going. It's a sea hag, he'd shout it again, sea hag, that mean old lady who kept our street hockey balls, right? How dare she keep what innocently crashed through her window into her hard candy bowl? Sea hag, we'd join in. Then Greg would stealth under a porch, commando crawl up under the open window there, peek his head over, slink up, and shout one big sea hag, scatter, fall down the steps, hop on our bikes, and inconspicuously escape with our hockey cards clicking like church mice, off scot-free. Now, my dad would sit at the typewriter all mornings. He worked the night shift on the newswire, which was really just a clever way to avoid general parental responsibilities. He was stuck with me, though. I was still on those easy half days in kindergarten. So I spent my formative years listening to him two-finger peck out stories on his old ribbon and dinger. He'd test me on the puns over his shoulder while I was attempting to draw my own stories on the bed. Or I'd watch Alan Thicke downstairs in lieu of any good cartoons. Well, I'd get to see some of those eerie 70s toy commercials, you know, maybe some Lucky Charms, Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And then one afternoon, something new, something unbelievable. Raw power. Well, I need that. I have a lot of practical uses for raw power, the concept in general, not to mention that incredible device that I am looking right at. Raw power. Genuine motorcycle sounds right there on the handlebar of your bike. Yang, 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 yang. I clambered up the stairs into his room. He's clacking at the keyboard. Dad, hang on. Dad, clack, clack, clack. 1 second. Dad, all right, what is it? Raw power. All right, for Christmas. I can't wait. Too bad. Wait, hold on. And then he laid it out for me. I didn't have any money, and you can't buy a toy without any money. I explained to him that he had money, and unless he wants child services up in this place, he has to buy me stuff. Well, just food and clothes, he says. Touché. It's easy to win a debate with a 5-year-old. All right, look, he says. You have to earn it. In Canadian Tire money. Now, Canadian Tire money was a phony currency peddled by a retail chain. Loyalty bucks printed on little slips with a Scottish guy in the middle. Pennies on the dollar. You know, you spend one, you get a few cents. Every house in the country had a jar packed full of it. Now, my dad was going to put me to work and pay me in that funny money. When I got enough, I could have my raw power. Our stand-by-me bicycle adventures often took us up to the dead end or down to the beach to huck stones, but mostly those two-wheelers were used to transport sweet goods. We'd skid our bikes up, ditch them rolling, and barrel in there, just ransack the place. You had to get all your food groups right, you know, salty, sweet, chocolatey, and fizzy. Licorice babies, Mars bars, and in Canada, bizarre potato chip flavors. Back at home, Dad sent me to work out in the yard. Mow that sucker and collect the reward. Oh, he had to push hard on that rusty manual blade spinner. And it cut just about as well as a pair of kitty scissors. I probably would have been better to crawl around and snip a blade of grass at a time with one of those. Out there, busting my hump, lining up those uneven rows, reaching way up to those handlebars. Nobody knows. Stop for a drink of dirt water from the hose and then back at it, back and forth, thwacking at the green stuff with a limp noodle, and then finally collapsing on the pile of leaves. There you go. Real Canadian Tire money. Ooh, those are some folding bills. Ooh, it's a nice stack, too. I'm counting them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 55 cents. Huh. How many 55 cents is $15.99? I scrubbed floors. I put away dishes. I washed windows. For a month, I was illegal slave labor. All for those fake penny papers, wads and wads of them, like a kid Trump. We sat down to do the big count, me and my dad at the dining room table, dividing up the crinkly wads into same piles, blue, green, yellow, red, and then shuffling through and counting them up. My dad with a calculator, as if it mattered, and $7.50. Halfway there, kid. Good job. Halfway? Half? Are you kidding me? After a month of punishing, whipping boy sweatshop labor, I was only halfway to making buzz sounds with my bicycle. Well, the grass is long again, and the kitty litter needs changing. Well, there have to be laws against this. No, remember, just the clothes and the food, and I'm off the hook. Checkmate, Dad, but I don't have to like it. So I went back outside and took a nap on the grass. Dad didn't notice on his way out to work. I just waited for my mother to get home, and then I carefully explained how Dad said if I got half, she was supposed to take me down to the store and cover the rest. Oh, boy, did I enjoy the look on my dad's face the next morning on his walk home from work as I buzzed around him on my bike, yawing on that raw power. Yang, 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 yang. No, Dad, it's okay, I explained. It was on for half price. The moral of the story here is lie. Lie all you can and get away with it.
Click the spokes, hit the curb downhill right. Rolling wheels, swaying wind side to side. On handlebars, playing catch with the sun. Shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes, I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So, if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. Coming up on Your Public Radio, engaging, interesting, and inspirational talks from whichever huckster we can find. On this week's talk, Davis Travis.
Good evening. I'm Davis Travis, and I want to see you out of work. That's right. I hope you never work in this town again, or any other town. Oh, are you getting hot under the collar? Asking yourself, why does Davis Travis want to see me starve? To lose my home? To fail to put food on the table, bring home the bacon, pay the rent, gas, electric, and internet bills? Why does this guy have it out for me? And why does he have it in for me? And what is it that he has, out or in? Calm down, friend. That's right, friend. You got me all wrong. I don't want you to suffer. Quite the opposite. I want you to quit suffering, and I want you to quit working. Work is a four-letter word. If there's one thing I want you to take home from this Fred talk, that's it. To hell with work. At Fred, that's freedom from responsibility, effort, and drudgery. We envision a FAO, a future free of work. Man was born hating work. Since the dawn of time, we have always sought to work less. From the very first hominid who climbed on a horse or a stegosaurus and said, I'm sick of walking. You do it, animal. All the way to the motion-sensing soap pumps and bathrooms, we've put our big brains to work so our bodies don't have to. There's an old saying, the smartest guy in the room always has the softest hands. Well, let me tell you, these babies are so smooth they barely have fingerprints. At Fred, we see a world where we're all the smartest guys, and we've all got milky hands and pillowy butts. A world where the trends of automation continue to a point where the sun powers robots who uncomplainingly tend to the every need of their creator, man. They grow our food, shoe our feet, dazzle our eyes, noses, and taste buds. And in this world, there'll be no want, and therefore no cause for war. In this robutopia, our grandchildren need never work again. Record scratch. Oh, I can hear your thoughts. Our grandchildren? What about us? Why should we care about some robutopia we'll never live to see? That technology must be a million years away. Hold the phone. Because we at Fred already have the answer. Cryogenics. What's a million years to you when you're frozen? That's right. Until all the other parts of this perfect future come together, just hop into a cryopod and chill. You go to sleep in this Stone Age humdrum, ride an escalator with your own feet, 21st century, and wake up in an age of perfection, kicking it with your grandkids. And since you'll wake up no older than when you got in the freezer, you and your grandkids can be besties. That's future talk for bosom chums. They're going to think you're the coolest because you saw Chance the Rapper live in concert back in the day. And at the same time, they'll nod knowingly at you with that "we are both cool young people" look that young people give to other young people. It'll be one nonstop party of fist bumps and beer pong. And look at it from their point of view. How cool is it? You live in a society of a perfect state of robotically sustained equilibrium, bounty, and harmony. Pretty dope, right? And then, all these cyber coffins that have been sitting around for centuries open up, and out come these new super cool friends who are young like you, but actually your grandparents? Whoa! Whoa. I see you. Some of you were thinking, Davis Travis claims he hates work, but this whole presentation smacks of a lot of work. Let me assure you, there was none. In fact, to demonstrate how much I dislike work, I'm going to admit I didn't do any work to prepare this Fred talk. I mean, not in a real sense. I did just make this up right now, but as the old saying goes, to not do one thing is to do something else. The time I spent before the talk, no matter how I spent it, is what I did to prepare, technically. Before this talk, I sat across the street from the convention center in the BJ's Brewhouse for 2.5 hours. Had some sliders, some boneless buffalo wings, and 2-3 beers. And I was on my cell phone the whole time, alternating between Twitter, Facebook, and Twitter. Now, that's what I did to prepare immediately before coming here. But in a sense, we spend our whole lives preparing for the current moment. And now this moment. And this moment. Right? Well, don't examine that too closely, because when you think about it, the logic doesn't hold up that well. It's kind of like when people say everything happens for a reason. Well, things happen, and then we react to them, not the other way around. For example, at BJ's, this woman and I bump into each other, and she makes me spill my Hopping Mad IPA, which, guess how that makes me feel, and I make her spill her chili cheese curlies. I have no idea how that made her feel. Anyway, for that reason, her husband gets angry and calls me a name. Him calling me a name makes me reply that doesn't really apply to me, that that is not my orientation or mental capacity. I see that he's still angry, so I apologize, and I say, I'm sure your wife is sorry, too. Let's leave it at that. Now, the moment I say that, he reacts, "Don't put words in my wife's mouth," and everything starts to move in slow motion. I see the guy cock back his fist, and I'm looking straight at it, and out of the corner of my eye, a waitress spins, and her dessert tray comes into view, inches from my face, and I see the eye of God. I grab it. I thrust it between me and the fist, and I say, "I'm putting this pudding in both your mouths." Time was still frozen, but what I had spotted was an item I had seen earlier on the dessert menu, BJ's new bread pudding, BJ's BP, soaked in chocolate stout, drizzled with caramel, hand-rubbed with Himalayan pink salt. I look in his eye, and then her eye, and the fist is still cocked, but frozen, and I say, "Pudding?" The fist unclenches. The next thing you know, the three of us are squeezed into a booth together, sharing the BJ's BP, laughing like old friends. Now, did that all happen for a reason? Did that woman and I, that wide-hipped, clumsy woman and I, collide and spill our beer and chili cheese curlies so that we would become good friends? No. We became friends because I didn't want to get punched in the face. And I got incredibly lucky that I was saying the word puttin' and my eye landed on some puddin', and the rest is history. And while anyone looking at our table would have seen three happy, smiling people, it was all acting on my part, because he very quickly started telling me about the shipment of firearms in his truck that he'd love to show me. I could get a good deal. She kept shoving her phone under my nose and showing me hilarious animal fail videos. "Look at that stupid old dog wipe out." Straining the corners of my mouth into a smile at these awful, awful people was work. These monsters had me dreaming of checking into the deep freeze then and there. I could have just walked straight through the kitchen into the meat locker and said, "Tell Fred to pick me up." But I knew I had to come and talk to you people here tonight. So, If, like me, you find this world sucks and you dream of a better one, call us at Fred and don't lose hope. Thank you.
That was, of course, our good friend, comedian Stephen Bennequist. Now we have time for one more song from Famous October.
Applause of tears.
That's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX.
Wendell.
You can find information about the program on our website,
Wendell.
AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
Wendell! Oh,
yes, Mother. What is it? I was almost asleep.
What's my Social Security?
$1,100.
No. I mean my number.
It's somewhere printed on a stone tablet.
No. Ha, 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 ha. I'm younger than you are.
Only because you broke into City Hall and changed your birth certificate.
Age is only a number.
Yes, and those whose number begins with 90 don't generally seek employment.
Well, this nonagenarian has a big offer on the table. So make with the digits.
An offer.
That's right. I'm making a comeback.
Another low-budget reality show pilot, I guess.
Real Grannies of Shady Acres is going to be huge.
Oh, brother.
Well, someone has to supplement our income. I can't live on a shoestring, Wendell. I need the whole shoe.
Oh, we're fine.
Fine? I've been selling my movie costumes on the side.
I thought I saw a homeless man walk past in your dress from Gone with the Wind Part 2.
And I'll be darned if I'm going to get so desperate that I have to hawk my tiara from Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, that was Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, that fat cow. She stole the role from me, so I stole the tiara.
Hollywood justice.
Oh, that's good. It's a revenge reality show.
Mother, you really don't need to worry about it. We're fine.
On a lousy 2200 Social Security?
Oh, calm down, dear. Look, it just so happens that I, too, have a little side income.
Oh, are you hustling rookies at the pool hall?
Oh, nothing quite so romantic. Now, do you remember that little novelty hit that I composed back in the 70s?
You mean Disco Chicken?
Yes, well, it's been quietly bringing home royalties overseas.
Oh, thank God!
And I've been stashing them away like a naughty little chipmunk.
Oh, you have? Oh, bless you, you chubby little rodent.
So, now that the account has matured, we can cash a little out every month and enjoy a moderately luxurious lifestyle.
Oh, I don't know if I can do moderately. How about reasonably?
All right, deal.
Oh, no, not so fast. You didn't read the fine print.
What, a morality clause?
Oh, no, I'm all for immorality. What I want is a nice lullaby so I can get some rest and start spending that Disco Chicken money in the morning.
Reasonably?
For you, moderately.
Okay, I'll pony up a lullaby.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. All your fears run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say, though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.